Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the head of the World Health Organization warned that the Ebola outbreak that has killed more than 700 people in West Africa is moving faster than efforts to control the disease. And now there's words of plans to bring an American who is infected with Ebola to Emory University Hospital in Atlanta for treatment at a specially built isolation unit. Dr. William Schaffner is an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University. He's with us from Nashville. Dr. Schaffner, welcome back.
Hello, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
Well, what do you think of this plan for at least one patient to be moved to Emory University in Atlanta?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing for the patient because the patient will be able to get much more sophisticated intensive care, supportive care. And of course, that's terribly important as that patient's body tries to rid itself of this Ebola virus.
But is there a risk for the people in Atlanta, for the people in the hospital where the patient will be, for the people in the United States?
Yeah, this is a question that is really on everyone's mind. So here's the reassurance. There's absolutely no risk, none, for the people in Atlanta. If there is a risk, it would be in the context of medical care. And the folks at the Emory Hospital have a special isolation unit. They're all very well trained. So I think the risk, even to healthcare workers, is going to be exceedingly low.
But then why not just send them to Africa and have them do the treatment on site there and not even raise the question about bringing an Ebola patient into the United States?
Because very simply, Jeremy, our capacity to do things elaborately and well is much better than is available in the facilities in Africa. Our whole laboratory testing apparatus, our monitoring apparatus, the skill of all the team, and it's an elaborate team of healthcare workers that are trained to work together in intensive care units, is much better here. This is a good thing for that patient, and actually, the risk really is vanishingly low.
But clearly all the precautions have not been taken in Africa, even with Western doctors, because there have been doctors who have been infected and killed by Ebola.
That's exactly correct. And that goes to the point that caring for patients in Africa is much, much more difficult. The heat alone makes it much more difficult to wear all that protective equipment in a consistent fashion 24/7. That alone increases the risk locally in Africa.
So what do you think went wrong here in trying to control this virus? Now more than 700 people have been killed.
Well, it's kind of difficult for us here to say what went wrong, but I'll tell you some of the things that fueled this epidemic. First of all, it didn't occur as previous outbreaks have in remote rural villages where everything could be much more contained. Here, this outbreak got into cities where people are much more mobile and able to transmit the infection. I think the local government also may not have been as aware and responsive as it could have been, and they actually put the treatment of the patients in an urban area. And most of us would have argued against that. We would have tried to keep it as rural and semi-isolated as possible.
But we are about to have treatment of it in Atlanta, which is a very urban area.
But we know exactly who's infected. We've gone to an elite infection control institution with highly trained personnel. Makes all the difference in the world. And I think it is kind of paradoxical for a layperson to think about this, whereas we as professionals have a great deal of confidence in the institution and the people who work there and their capacity to restrict and contain the virus.
Dr. Schaffner, remind us how this virus is spread.
Yeah, so this is also something difficult for lay people to understand because it is transmissible. The epidemic is not yet curtailed, but this virus actually does not spread very readily. The individual has to be sick before the virus becomes transmissible. And then, importantly, you need very close, not casual, very close contact with the individual's body fluids. And by that we mean sputum and blood and urine, vomitus, for example. So it's in this intimate care that families might have with the individual, and certainly in the context of medical care, that spread occurs. But it's really in that confined circumstance. This is not like influenza. This virus is not spread through the air.
Why is there no vaccine yet for Ebola?
Two reasons, really. One, there's science, and that's progressing, so there are vaccine candidates now available. But this has been a disease that has been localized. It's unusual, so there's not a large market for it. So the vaccine manufacturers have not devoted their resources to it, although people have worked on it in research laboratories. So there's some emphasis now on trying to bring some of these vaccine candidates into clinical trials to see whether they're actually effective. And there's this epidemic has actually stimulated that activity.
In the cases of these two American medical professionals who have become infected with Ebola and could be transferred into a facility in this country, one of them has been given a special serum and another a blood transfusion. What does that tell you about how they are being treated for this?
Both of those are experimental, and they amount to the same thing. Let's set this up. Think about another viral infection, measles. Once you get it and you recover, your body has made antibodies. These are proteins that float around in your blood, such that if you're then exposed to the virus down the road, you won't become infected a second time. So what we have done in these two instances is has been to go to people who have recovered from Ebola, taken their serum or blood, and it's now full of antibodies that we hope will protect and fight the virus, and administered that serum and blood to the patients in an attempt to have these antibodies actually treat the patient, curtail the further effects of the virus.
But you're saying these are experimental. It's not clear that that would work.
It's not clear that that would work, although there's a tradition of that kind of work in other infectious diseases back through the years. So it's a very reasonable hypothesis. One of the things that's a little bit against it is we're treating rather late in the course of the illness, where the effect may be muted if there is one. But it's worth a try.
Dr. William Schaffner is an infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University, speaking to us from Nashville. Dr. Schaffner, thank you so much.
My pleasure as always, Jeremy.